Feel the truth.
Gentlemen, to another live edition of Blacklisted Radio. I'm your host, Doug Owen, senior editor of BlacklistedNews.com, the website dedicated to this show that you can be part of it at is BlacklistedRadio.com. Go there. Find the ambassadors, myself, hanging out in the chat room. Don't know how many people are going to be affected for the live show, considering that Hurricane Irma is going up the Gulf of Mexico west side of Florida at the moment. We probably do have a lot of Floridians, some of my favorite people out there that are taking refuge. So, yeah, a lot's happened. 21 days since the last podcast. We'll try to summate here in this 1 hour that we do live Sunday, 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, when time permits. Yeah, follow me on Twitter. BLN Radio is the handle. And text me. I have heard from some of you guys over the last few weeks that have lost property, lost homes, but still alive and well. And that's the most important thing. So, you know, good to hear from some of you out there, especially along the Texas Gulf Coast, personal friends, family that are in those regions affected. Wow, so much has happened. Let's just start with Hurricane Harvey. Interesting few days beforehand. Kind of touched me personally. I do have friends that own homes and live in Rockport, Texas, that was directly hit with Hurricane Harvey. Spun around several times and then took flight in direction towards, of course, Houston, that was just brutally hit with floods, tornadoes, similar to what we're seeing now, right now in downtown Miami, Tampa, in the crosshairs of Hurricane Irma. But a lot to take away from it. A lot of, you know, good things. The response, I thought, was, way better than what happened during Hurricane Katrina. And the primary thing that I saw was that people were working. The police were not trying to stop people from helping. They were absolutely instrumental. The Cajun Navy, people showing up, neighbors helping neighbors. You know, all the racism that is supposedly out there, that's supposedly dividing all of us from one another. Of course, you know, that's what the media and politicians love. Where they're the saviors, where people look to them for solutions and look at their enemies as neighbors. I mean, it's just, oh, so convenient. But, some of the memes that were going around, some of the pictures, some of the video of people, helping one another. There was a UFC fighter that must have been pretty well off, had a really, really nice, I think, Dodge or Chevy Dually. He picked up some guy that had tried to take a Confederate flag with him. I guess it was important, maybe an heirloom. And he was pretty embarrassed about it. And the guy was like, hey, and he's a black guy, by the way. And he said, you know, doesn't matter. I've seen plenty of them. I live in Texas. You put your rebel flag in the back and I'll get you out of here. So there were just those kind of touching moments, those feel-good things that you can take away from the enormous calamity and just the damage that has been done that will take years upon years to clean up. Of course, all of the emergency funding and personnel have now left the people of Harvey. Harvey is no longer an issue. They're all going to, of course it is, but they're all going to Florida, to the next crisis. By the way, FEMA is essentially bankrupt. So there's a lot of, you know, blame. Everybody's going after everything from the first lady's hat. She had a hat on that said FLOTUS. Some people, you know, thought pretty sadly that, you know, she was mocking people that were floating along in the river. I don't know. Some people thought that was insensitive. There was so much commentary on her shoes. And, of course, all of the things that are happening in the background that we'll try to cover here that are not being covered because of the 24/7 coverage of the hurricane. So over the last 3 weeks, we've seen a complete blanketing of news media reporting on people, usually these reporters that are fighting the storm and reporting to us from the scene. I don't know. You gotta be at the bottom of the totem pole or kind of desperate to take on that gig. Anyway, you know, if you want to become an anchor, I guess that's what you have to do. You have to weather report. Always feel bad for those people. Nonetheless, so the response, of course, from some, you know, oh, Trump's the worst. It's going to be horrible. You know, there is some rounding up of illegals. I mean, not rounding up. I shouldn't say that. It's kind of inflammatory, hyperbolic. But there are some sheriffs that are checking the resident status of people that are in these shelters, along with, you know, all the other police state checks that people do to people randomly to go into a shelter, which might not be a bad idea, you know, if you think about it. If you have to go to a shelter, wouldn't you like to know if the guy that's bunking next to you and your children are a pedophile? I mean, I do see advantages in profiling and checking people's backgrounds. And then when you check their background, you find out that they're a legal alien. Or maybe they have some outstanding warrant, then some kind of legal action. You know, I don't know. I mean, is there humanitarian? I guess people think there should be a humanitarian aspect to that. Good luck. We have erected a police state apparatus around us, high-tech surveillance state, where information can be garnered. And, of course, one of the things I've been watching are biotech companies and how they're pitching all these new biotech ideas and, you know, money's wallets, things like that that you can use to help you during the hurricane. So price gouging. Of course, you can't get too far into this show without what appear to be somewhat real documents, I don't know, that state that there was cloud seeding of Hurricane Harvey, that the weather changers, the weather warriors were trying to mitigate some of the power of the force of Harvey by deploying aerial chemicals into the sky. I don't know. It is a double superstorm to keep people distracted, and it is a boon for the economy in a certain sense. I mean, there's going to be lots and lots of money paid out, and the astronomical costs to rebuild are going to benefit some contractors. Home Depot, you know, those people. What else? Some of those things that I do find worrying, of course, you have these chemical plants in Beaumont. That's one of the things that you're just getting nothing about, and that is how polluted and caustic and deadly the water may be that people will be dealing with. By the way, don't buy a used car from Florida anytime soon, or Texas, to be quite frank. If it came from Houston, you probably don't want to buy it. Looking at how many of these submerged Mercedes-Benzes are going to reach the market very soon. So, word to the wise, and when there's no power, you have to stop at a four-way at a traffic light. You have to stop four ways. I think that's even true in Australia. You can't just go through the light if it's out. That's how a lot of people get hurt. It's after when they're searching through the remnant. Of course, we've already seen the pictures of the looting, the scandalous looters trying to go after shoe stores and getting electronics out of Hurricane Irma. I don't know if it was the projection from the media But I didn't see a lot of that that was happening in Houston. Now, that may have been happening. They were controlling the narrative, the message, what we're seeing. But it's gangster in Florida. So my heart goes out to all of those people. Not in everywhere in Florida. I don't want to be a big generalist or get hate mail from some of you out there. Because it is the Wild West. It's kind of, I always think of Florida as the sister to Texas. So one of the things that was briefly mentioned, and something that is going back into effect if Donald Trump has his way, is the 1033 program. Now, there's plenty of examples of the militarization of the U.S. police departments. There's a lot of surplus military weaponry and money for companies that provide these garnishments for police departments across the nation. It was something that Barack Obama stopped and, you know, at least put a pause or temporary break on. No, it's very similar to what he did with the Dreamers Act. We'll get to that in a moment. But this is one of the, I think it was at least a big focus about 3 years ago when we looked at Ferguson. And I mean, I've been ringing the bell on the 1033 program and the militarization of the police and the justification of that for just about 16 years now, tomorrow, that started with September 11, 2001, where we saw what almost everyone that you hear, politicians, people on TV, people that are well regarded, say, changed the world. It changed us. So we're going to have to talk a little bit about that. You know, the response, Donald Trump's response, I mean, the media is just hypercritical of the most just uninteresting aspects of it. 9/11 changed my life and probably brought a lot of you to this program. If it didn't, then glad you found your way here. 9/11 was something that when I looked at a lot of the research and evidence from, you know, both sides, from the conspiracy theorists, I guess you would call them, people that were putting a lot of counter intel to counter the narrative that was obviously false, and that was that the U.S. government had no idea what happened, and of course the response, the result was a never-ending multi-trillion dollar war. It was the oustering of Saddam Hussein. It was the taking over of the opium production and what minimal central government was in Afghanistan. It paved the way for the assassination of Muammar Gaddafi, and it has made its way into the Ukraine and into a proxy war that's playing out in Syria. So all of that came out of one event that changed the world. Last year when I talked about 9/11, you know, the only response I got to the show was negative responses from people that say, you're a crank, you're a quack, can't believe you would, you know, disregard and desecrate the 3,000 plus people that died on 9/11. And I think, you know, the 3,000 people that died on 9/11 are part of one of the grandest tragedies that we have seen in the United States of America in the last 100 years. At least as far as a full impact. I mean, more than 3,000 people die from gunshot wounds in Chicago every year. So it's not to say that 3,000 people is all that many people, quite honestly. I mean, there's a lot of other things. Sugary drinks, probably taking cigarettes, opioids, alcohol, crystal methamphetamines. I could go on with the amount of things that, you know, people don't like, that want to regulate, that government has outlawed, that kill people, or they tax, that just kill people, that far exceeds those on 9/11. But to disregard the millions of people that have been killed, to disregard the outsourcing of and the privatization of the military into shadow fighting forces, private military contractor dictatorships, one of which is alive and well in the Trump administration, and that is Eric Prince. His sister happens to be the she's the education secretary. So, you know, strange bedfellows. He was instrumental and financially capitalized from his role on not just, you know, himself, but thousands of people. The military-industrial complex as a whole came out of a huge rut and turned into a multi-billion-dollar pipeline of, you know, taxpayer cash after that day. It all but kind of dried up. There was no Cold War. So, you know, the new explosive lawsuit that you're going to hear nothing about on the mainstream media about how Saudi Arabia funded a dry run for 9/11 2 years before has shocked a lot of people because it's not coming from Conspiracy Planet, but rather the New York Post. It reported 2 years before the airline attacks, the Saudi embassy paid two Saudi nationals living undercover in the U.S. as students to fly from Phoenix to Washington in a dry run for the 9/11 attacks, alleges the amended complaint filed on behalf of the families of some 1,400 victims who died in the terrorist attacks 16 years ago. So, it's not a conspiracy to say that George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld, and the neocon PNAC crew did everything in their power to not only cover up Israel's ties to the intelligence that they had about this, but that they actually had foreknowledge of this event. They, you know, the 28 pages, I mean, just what we've seen from the redacted notes, proves that the U.S. government was complicit, at least major players, in keeping the truth away from the American people. You know, of course, this, you know, all of the 19 hijackers were from, or the majority of, at least, or were from Saudi Arabia. So if there was any footprint finding, if there was any place to invade, it may have been our good friends and allies, the Sauds, but not so much. They did everything they could to keep this away from the American people because they wanted to mislead the people, use this as a false flag, regardless of what you think about World Trade Center 7. This is a huge, huge revelation that has, you know, legs and is completely legitimate. Not a lot of people want to hear it because it's not as sexy as directed energy weapons, thermite, other, the, you know, the math nerds that like to go into the physics of how 9/11 and the, especially the destruction of WTC-7 is unexplainable by most, confusing to those that want to believe and has a completely, I'd say, polarized discussion. You know, whether or not you can see plumes popping out of the side of the building when the buildings are falling. All those things, you know, to me are, you know, somewhat trivial but interesting. I think when you have what amounted to, especially in the years following 9/11, when really YouTube came about, and I, like some of you, probably just filled myself with every 9/11 video that you could find. Some riveting details, information. Some not so much. Some of them, you know, trying to make a package that was this all-convincing thing. You know, put a lot of stuff that was easily debunked or later debunked or was put out there as direct poisoning of the well methods by shills and those in the media that were trying to do everything to run a disinformation campaign to, you know, keep people off of the path of, hey, we're spending a lot of money invading countries that had nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. Those millions of people that died cannot be discounted. Those 500,000 plus children, this, you know, we got back in 2005, Madeleine Albright said that, you know, it was worth it. The 500,000 children at the time, some people estimated up to a million children at the time had died in Iraq. When you look at this country, it was decimated. The people that were there selling this idea that removing Saddam Hussein would, you know, make the Middle East safer, better, people like Benjamin Netanyahu. Oh, Yehu. Well, at least his wife is getting the stiff arm. They're going after her for embezzling money and getting the government to pay for fancy dinner parties. So, I don't know. Tax bill for some. You know, some people don't pay taxes, they get a tax bill. Some people, other people don't pay taxes, they go to jail. Kind of a funny thing. Just depends. Just depends, I guess, on who you know. So anyway, now this Saudi-owned state propaganda company that was instrumental in demonizing Qatar as the embargo, as that lingers on. Not a lot of talk about it. It's kind of come to a stalemate where everybody's, you know, they figured out, I don't know, that screwing Qatar just seems like the thing to do so you can get some money or some cool points with Donald Trump. Not exactly sure. Maybe the Qataris screwed him over in a deal and he pushed on the Sauds. You know, it's really, it's almost a pointless to analyze. But nonetheless, it is interesting. I just, you know, we're pretty far from Qatar. And I haven't been importing any Qatar products anytime recently, so it only registers so high. Now, if you know they go to war and start blowing each other up and killing civilians, and then it becomes more of an interesting story and more blacklisted radio worthy. But anyway, this television channel, some of you may be aware, Al Arabiya is set to now release this documentary produced in the United States, which seeks to implicate Iran in the 9/11 attacks, whose 16-year anniversary will be commemorated tomorrow. The preposterously untrue Saudi claims come as new information in the lawsuit, 9/11-related lawsuit, accuses Saudi officials of financing a dry run of 9/11 prior to the commencement of atrocity. Yeah, so one of these guys, they had trained at Al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan at the same time. The hijackers were there while living in Arizona. They say they had regular contacts with a Saudi hijacker pilot and senior Al-Qaeda leader from Saudi Arabia, who's now incarcerated at Gitmo. At least one tried to re-enter the United States a month before the attacks as a possible muscle hijacker, but was denied admission because he appeared on a terrorist watch list. So you have Mohammed al-Kadhini or Kadhin and Hamdan al-Shalawi, who are members of, this is from the New York Post, quote, the Kingdom's Network of Agents in the United States. So, you know, we heard all of the rhetoric about we need justice for those people. And, of course, that's what they use to sell a lot of Chinese-made American flags and a lot of hoorah rhetoric. We're all one. You know, America's strong. We're the baddest. We're going to invade where we need to. We're going to just go and kick butt because we got a big military and we got a big old schlong. And that was the prevailing sentiment of people that were for it. I mean, really smart people. People like Robert Regard, people like Tucker Carlson. There's, I mean, so many people that were on the shill bandwagon that are now pretty well regarded. I mean, many of which, I mean, if you're still on the bandwagon, then, you know, then shame on you. You are just an evil person that's profiting from the machine. But anyway, beyond all that, yeah, trying to blame this on Iran that had absolutely nothing to do with it is preposterous. The Saudi government has done everything it can, and it's got a propaganda wing, and it's got a lot of influence in U.S. media and a lot of influence in U.S. politics. I mean, they are the gate to the Middle East, and were instrumental in the U.S. helping to topple Saddam Hussein and install whatever the heck we have over there now. Anyway, as I was looking through things that are always worthy to talk about on 9/11, one of the things I often reference is the 9/11 in 5 minutes by James Corbett. You can Google it, or I'm sure somebody will put it in the chat room for you. James Corbett does this great summation of all of the ridiculous things that happened, that had to happen, all the spiral corkscrew turns that these planes had to make that seem absolutely phenomenally impossible to make happen. Of course, you know, with the attack on the Pentagon, that I remember the hype to putting out that video. We have the evidence that the plane hit the Pentagon. And then they showed this video clip, and it's just like, you just see the tip of something. It's like a little orange tip that, and then it blows up. And whether or not people smelled fuel, but it's really interesting that the Pentagon Auditor's Office that was looking into those missing 2.3 trillion dollars that they couldn't find, just flew that plane right into it. So some of it, I mean, you have to, even if you think I'm ridiculous and that 9/11 was not an inside job, to think so is preposterous. You got to admit that it's pretty ironic that that plane just happened to fly right into the accounting office. Where'd that $1 trillion go? Who knew? Anyway, so I usually do a run through of stuff that I find particularly compelling when it comes to 9/11. Of course, the aftermath, the chaos, the order out of chaos that has succeeded the last 16 years since the terror war begun. I try to find new stuff. One of the things that was, you know, I think paramount was Bill Cooper's prediction of 9/11, the attack by bin Laden. He did this interview June 28, 2001. The video is at blacklistednews.com from the radio broadcast, where he goes into, before people even knew who Osama bin Laden was, before he had his media debut, he was a U.S. CIA asset, was instrumental in helping fight the Ruskies, and then decided to take up jihad against the United States just a few months before this well-elaborated Saudi plan, this Saudi Arabian. The Saudis knew about it. So obviously, if the Saudi intelligence knows about it, if they're running it, there's a damn good chance that the Israelis knew as well. Lots of people knew, but you know, the Israelis, they were just dripping at the thought of being able to start this terror war. I mean, they wanted to, you know, they've been wanting to finish off where the Six-Day War left off for a long, long time. So no matter how much you think, you know, lie hop, my hop, they've let it happen. That was a big thing. Lie hop and my hop or made it happen, or as many people believe, and, you know, I think there's a compelling argument that the Israelis themselves were instrumental and coordinated the attacks themselves. A lot of people like Silverstein, Larry Silverstein, the owner of the World Trade Center, I mean, seemed to profit from it. Wall Street knew. I mean, there was lots of short selling and betting against airline companies that day. Lots of things that should have been investigated, but the 9/11 Commission was a complete and total whitewash. But before all of that, Bill Cooper had this great bit, and I don't have time to play it here, but he plays portions of the interview where CNN, a couple yahoos from CNN, were able to infiltrate bin Laden's lair, something the FBI, the CIA, and the intelligence community around the world could not do. And he said, you know, when something happens and we have some kind of terrorist attack and they blame it on bin Laden, don't buy it. Well, here we are, 17 years later. It's Blacklisted Radio. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter. Helps lower blood pressure. Helps to make you feel calm all day long and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains suntan and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and it helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Who is the girl wearing nothing but a smile and a towel in the picture on the billboard in the field near the big old highway?
All right, welcome back. It's Blacklisted Radio. I'm your host, Doug Owen, and it's good to be here with you. Lots to talk about tonight. I want to get to DACA, or DACA, the Dreamers Act, a lot of other stuff that's happening in the news around the world. But first, let's go to the phone line. Let's talk to Joel, if you'd like to call in, 800-313-9443. Joel, what's up? Welcome to Blacklisted Radio.
Howdy.
Hey.
Is it safe to say that you don't believe everything that the government media complex has told you about 911?
Yeah, that's very safe to say. Or just about anything in general. 9/11 is not an exception to that.
Right. Well, because I found it interesting that when you said the number that they claim died on that day, you know, around 3,000, it sounded like you believed that number. And I was just wondering how, if you don't believe everything that they say, how can you pick and choose what you do choose to believe?
Well, I go off what the government says with regard to that number. I imagine it's somewhere there. It's like when somebody says, well, 6 million Jews died. I'm like, well, there's a lot of people that died. No doubt about it. There's lots of people that died, but was it 6 million? How did you get to that number? Most of the time, government or any statistician that works for government massages numbers. And so, yeah, I just kind of take that for granted because, yeah, maybe it was less, maybe way less, maybe almost none. I don't know. There are conspiracies or conspiracy theories that there was a lot less people there in these buildings, and these are inflated numbers. but that's just kind of why I go with it, because that's what people recognize, rather than nitpicking over something that I would speculate on.
All right. Well, because your response to it sounds better than the first, because when I hear somebody say that they believe that, you know, some of what they say, then I just wonder how they pick and choose what they do believe, because allegedly there was supposed to be 25,000 employees in each building, and obviously the majority of them got out, but there's no footage of them getting out. So how they got the number down to 3,000 dead or missing, then they threw that in, or missing. And I was wondering how many were missing the day before.
Right.
And how many are missing today. So that number, you know, that number, you have to remember where it comes from, them.
Sure.
And all the information we get about it comes from them, and they have a proven record of not always telling exactly the truth.
No, you're so right. Yeah, I'm a skeptic. I think sometimes, and I appreciate the call, Joel. Thank you very much for pointing that out, that you kind of go with things because, you know, you don't want to argue that point. Because, you know, when it comes to, I think, a lot of politics, to even get into discussion with most people, you have to accept that it's a two-party system, right? That there's no third party that could ever win. Most people would think it's impossible to have a third party candidate at this point. So it's this unrealized potential, this unrealized truth that most people believe about most things. So I just kind of go with that, and so that you can get into the discussion or make a reasonable claim about how the government covered up and lied to the American people to start wars, whether or not they blew up the tower. I mean, that's important. Whether or not Larry Silverstein should be in prison. That's interesting. You know, Don Rumsfeld, whether or not, you know, Dick Cheney told the Pentagon to stand down, told NORAD to stand down. Those are things that should absolutely be questioned. But the whole narrative, and of course, the millions of people that died, I think are more important than nitpicking the story, because there's a lot of people, you know, that you know, there's some questions about Dick Cheney, primary suspect number one in my mind. But you know, will those people come to justice? I think that if you say that Dick Cheney did 9/11, most people walk away from the conversation unless they're already on board. So, from me to you out there, most of you listening, yeah, that's what I think. But you know, when I'm talking in generalities about things, I think it's a good point that Joel brings up. You know, don't trust government numbers in the slightest. So there is that. So we talked about Bill Cooper. Let's talk about the electronic enslavement. Is the Internet of Things sending us back to the Middle Ages? I mean, this is something that I've thought about a lot. And this op-ed from Joshua A.T. Fairfield, who's a professor of law at Washington and Lee University, brings up this really interesting point about people's electronics and how they are so pervasive in everyday life, from your Fitbit to your Roomba vacuum cleaner, collecting data about people. But the overarching thought, or I guess discussion, about whether this is sending us back into a new technological fiefdom, you know, true serfdom, is pretty compelling. You know, there was a time where things like artwork, music, were physical mediums that could be transmitted, or not really transmitted, you know, they could be passed on to other people. They were physical property. You know, you owned your music. It was records. And when you died, you could give them to your kids and your kids' kids. And, you know, somebody 20 generations from now, if they found it valuable or, you know, somewhat sentimental or meaningful, would keep that and have that physical ability to transfer that. you used to have physical money. You know, if you died, your kid knew where it was buried, hopefully, or the wife or somebody. And that's how you transferred that wealth, physical things. But as more and more of the things we own and we buy become digitized, the less and less we own. We see that with John Deere. You know, people buy the tractor, but they don't own the software that runs it. It's proprietary, so they don't really own it. They don't really control what's happening in the John Deere. Same thing with your cell phones right now. You know, you don't own the operating system. You might have bought the phone, but because these companies believe they own the right to you and they own the right to your software, because even though it's your piece, you know, it's your piece of plastic, it's your, you know, small personal computer, it's really not yours. And he makes this compelling case that as we see more and more of our information and just everything becoming digital assets and more of our society resides in the digital space, people don't have computers. They don't have hard drives that actually have pictures. People are putting them into the cloud. Well, what is the cloud? The cloud's somebody else's computer, so you don't need that computer. You just end up with the terminal. The computing power and everything that's happening is happening inside of a data center. You have a screen and a mouse or some other peripheral device, and you're just looking at it, interacting with that server. All under the guise of, you know, protecting you and making things better. But at some point, the artwork you create, the designs you do, everything that you know, used to have a tangible meaning, and that was what gave people personal property. That was what made us different from serfs, people that weren't allowed to own anything, people that had to have the king. Well, then at some point, you know, if you have information that's there and they don't like it, everything that you can get to can be stripped away from you. They can shut you down, get to a divorce, get into some kind of thing. Your money is gone. They shut your bank accounts down. We found out that you're a bad citizen. Bad citizen. Over in China, they're already keeping, you know, credit scores on people. Not like Equifax. We'll get there as well. That's a whole other type of electronic enslavement. But it's a really compelling case for where society is going and how, you know, more and more stuff's in the digital world. And I myself, you know, I'm in the digital world. I'm doing a radio show through the internet. I have websites that I've put lots of time, effort, work into the design, into all the things that make them happen. I rent server space so people can go to blacklistednews.com quickly, easily access it. And, you know, so I have a lot of investment in this digital world that a lot of us are now participating in, for better or worse, for better or worse. Hopefully this show at least gives you perspective. And, you know, of course, we want you to come and download the show and listen to the show. But, you know, we're going to have to, also show you the door that you can leave, you know, to get out of the machine. Anyway, with that, let's go to Joel. Before I got on this tangent, I get sidetracked. Do we still have Joel there? Oh, no. We took Joel's call. Man, I'm I forgot. We got a Rick in Arizona. Good thing. Thank you, producer Ken. Rick, you're live. Welcome to Blacklisted Radio.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, I just had this daunting feeling that I had, it was like foreboding that I had not taken somebody's phone call, and lo and behold, it's you, Rick.
Yeah, that last caller, Joel, you know, he's right on track there. I think the no plane theory and nobody in those towers is the Holy Grail. And I think that is where everybody on the internet and AM radio is ready to, you know, that's what they're afraid to hear.
So tell people a little bit more about this idea or where it generated from, that that there were not nearly as many people or maybe possibly no people in these buildings, and what that implication would be.
Just let me tell you something, okay? Those buildings, the beginning of the evacuation of the Twin Towers came in 1993 when the first bombing went off. Those people won't go back in those towers after that. And over the years, they slowly got everybody out, and they took everything out of the towers. That's why when they came down, there was only a small pile of stuff there. They took out everything. The only thing that was left in there, in my opinion, was whatever concrete they couldn't get out. And as far as the, like Larry Silverstein, he walks around New York City like nothing happened. I mean, if all these people died that day, you would think somebody would like to take a shot at him. I mean, considering he collected insurance and built a brand new tower. But no, he walks around everywhere. Hell, the fire department don't care. You know, if anybody knows about that kind of lightning, it's the fire department. So I think Joel's right. I think it might be an empty tower and no plane. Yeah. And that explains everything.
Yeah, well, it begs a lot of questions, though, doesn't it? I mean, because for that to be true, and I appreciate the phone call, Rick, and I'll flesh this out a little bit. But in order that for that to be true, that means that we have actors that are the people that said that they lost their people, their friends, family on 9/11, or they're not, and those people were disappeared. And I don't know that, you know, that it would be easy for the government to disappear all of those people. I mean, it obviously wouldn't be impossible, right, for the government to kill a lot of people in some mass grave. I think it's pretty heinous, and it'd be hard to ask any one person to do that. But maybe they did. You know, but I don't know if it's a holy grail. I think, you know, my honest take is that it goes off into the weeds somewhere where we get into this debate, and then it's like, oh, well, all these people are liars. That means you're crazy. You know, the same attack that we saw the media really push against Alex Jones and the whole Sandy Hook episode saga. Saying that he said that the act, whether or not he said it doesn't matter. It's what the media is portrayed, that he had created this, you know, this idea that all the people were actors and that none of these people actually died. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that is possible too. You know, having no planes, no people die, just put out, you know, a fictitious, you know, name and some, you know, actors to fulfill that would be probably easier than asking somebody who works for the government or even a private contractor just to go out and indiscriminately murder these people, pull them off a plane. But I think it begs, I mean, I don't know. It begs a lot of questions for me because that makes it, then it becomes more and more complex. You know, pinning it and blaming it on Iran and blaming it on Saddam Hussein and, orchestrating it with the knowledge or in tandem with Saudi intelligence. I mean, we're only one step away from that being, I mean, the prevailing, you know, history that historians will look to. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We're looking at it in the short term. We're only 17 years removed. Once we're 30 or 40 years removed, I mean, just like the JFK assassination, maybe here this year or in 2020, we'll get some new evidence about, oh, other CIA people that were involved in this co-conspiratorial plot to assassinate JFK. Maybe not. Maybe it was just a bunch of disinfo from the, you know, National Archive. Hard to say. Hard to say. But the takeaways, I think, are what – you know, I try to find something that's more of the common ground with more people when I'm having the discussion and try to be more broad with it because, I mean, you know, regardless of how we got there, the big ruse was the war on terror and that the U.S. would be safer and that having a trillion-dollar police state and, you know, biometrically screening everyone and, you know, the whole shebangabang is the way to set us free. You know, that's the big lie. The more we watch you, the more government capabilities, the more you're free, and we can protect your freedoms. Yeah, so there you go. Internet of Things, 9/11. You can talk about anything, 800-313-9443. Let's talk about Equifax. If you haven't heard about this Equifax thing, boondoggle, 43 million Americans' data was released from Equifax. Beyond just having your digital assets, really your ability to function in the world is based on your credit score. Your credit score is tied to your social security number. So anyway, Equifax was just particularly scummy in the way that it handled this. Number one, they kept this secret for months, that they had released 143 million Americans' Social Security numbers. And they provided this free service where you could go and put your Social Security number into this unsecure website. It was a WordPress hacked theme website that was completely unsecure. And it didn't matter what number you put in. It just had an automated result that said, no, you're safe. You're safe. Not only that, years prior, Equifax lobbied to make it hard for people to sue them for being hurt by their malpractice. Pretty convenient. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's Blacklisted Radio.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations. A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Worked our way to the final segment. I've been having a good time and talking about 9/11. And you know, it's interesting. I can't believe that we had two callers that were both interested in that one aspect. And I remember a lot of people, you know, used to be the directed energy weapons. I can't think of her name, but there was a lady that was really focused on it. And a lot of times, you know, if you don't follow this or if you don't believe this, you're one of the shills. I think that's the big problem with getting people to realize the totality of 9/11, how it was conducted, the PSYOP, the the operation itself. You know, that's where I think a bunch of, you know, history nerds get involved and start looking back and finding inconsistencies with not only the reporting, the evidence, but the whole event itself. And, of course, realization that that was it's time truth. You know, something I was talking about with Ken there behind the glass during the break. You know, if people could just embrace what had happened and could place the rightful blame of 9/11 on the right people, that would change everything, that we would have a paradigm shift. I fought for many years believing that if we had enough people that found out about 9/11 truth, or, you know, for lack of a better term, understood it a little bit better, that that would have a huge political change. I've been wrong. I've been wrong before, and you know, I'm willing to be wrong again. That's one of the things that I always try to practice, and that is to keep an open mind. You know, open minds are like parachutes. They only work when they are open. So I do try to keep an open mind. It's like what's happening with DACA. I just want to bring this up, the Dreamers Act. Now, regardless of all the legality and whatnot, my personal opinion is that it should be easy to find something that is manageable, because here in the United States we have, well, we had Barack Obama basically through executive fiat give this pseudo law that gave people that were here undocumented that were going to school and whatnot a stay, and that they could get Social Security numbers, they could receive benefits, whatnot. And there are many people in this country that were residing under DACA. Now, I think it'd be really easy to let people get citizenship, give them a two-year window to do it or something like that, something that's reasonable. People that are currently employed in college could, you know, sign up for a temporary visa just so that we, you know, the government actually knows you're here. They actually know where to send the check. I don't think that's unreasonable. And then people that overstay that welcome. I mean, at some point, you either have Border Patrol, you either have immigration laws, or you don't. And so you have to draw that line somewhere. And, of course, people are always hurt when they're on one side of the line. And it's like people that have lost their homes, lost their children because of marijuana and other drug prohibition. You know, they found themselves on the wrong line. So it just doesn't seem like it has to be all that hard to make it not cruel and effective. It's the name of a podcast right there. Not Cruel and Effective. Hopefully that show, this show was just that. I'll be back next week with lots more. All the stuff I didn't even get to today, with another live edition of Blacklisted Radio. You can follow me on Twitter. BLN Radio is the handle. And online in the meantime at blacklistedradio.com. Take care.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's A-P-P-S-A-P-A-R-T.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle